at the end of the session to vote on resolutions, because our next meeting is not scheduled until January.
Okay. Just wanted to let y'all know that the restrooms are here, through this door. If y'all need to step out, feel free to step out to make phone calls, to go to the restroom, any of your needs. And like Dr. Morris said, I'll get right to you. Like Dr. Morris said, we are on a tight schedule, so we hope to get you out on time, if not a little bit early. So, thank you. Yes.
Margarita, I'm a community member. I would like to offer public communication. Can I do it right now or at the end of the meeting?
What's it pertaining?
The shack.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I have been listening to my preacher for 2 Sundays, and he has been preaching about the name of the preaching is Family Matters. And I was really interested in what last Sunday our pastor was teaching, and he was teaching about, well, he asked a question to all the congregation, and he said, how many of you received good, positive, healthy sex education when you were growing up from your parents? And probably 100 members raised their hand. In the 100 member, congregation, 4 people raised up their hand. So he was surprised, and he said, not good. So I have been thinking on the preaching last Sunday and this Sunday, and one of the things that I'm noticing is that a lot of parents do not know how to communicate with their children about sex education. And, you know, SHAC is one of the bodies in our school that could be used to teach those classes. I know that the board members not approved to teach sex education, but I have been more encouraged to comment and share with you that I have parents that come to me and they say, I do not know how to communicate with my child about sex. So, you know, I look around and I think that this room should be full of parents, because parents are the ones that are gonna bring the questions. Parents are the ones that are gonna give ideas of what curriculums they need. So I hope that, you know, with the new bylaws that are gonna be updated, that we can get another subcommittee where we can have more parent engagement and try to bring those trainings where parents can be, you know, better prepared for those kind of topics that they need to speak with their children.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that comment. Okay, remember that the purpose of the SHAC is to ensure the school district's school health programs reflect our local community values. And our group commitments are to remain solution-driven, take care of your needs, and listen to others. Robert's Rules of Order are how we convene and govern during the discussion portion this evening. I will remember to ask you to remember to keep those in mind so that you do not speak over others, wait your turn, and only comment once on a particular topic in order to keep everything moving. All right, we do need to review and approve September 2024 meeting minutes. If I can have a member of the executive committee make a motion.
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, and a second.
A second.
All voting members present. Okay, thank you. And our SHAC guide from the state of Texas is linked. We've provided physical copies to you in the past, and it is a public matter of record that can be accessed with a quick Google search.
I can't hear very well.
Okay, I'm sorry, I will speak up. I just said that the Texas Department of Health and Human Services manual, you can access that online. We've provided physical copies in the past as well. All right, we'll move straight into our annual review of bylaws for proposed revisions. The first group to present will be the Drug and Tobacco Prevention Subcommittee. You'll notice that they're structured not all in order because based on the number of recommended changes, we've moved the articles with the most recommendations to the end. so that if we have additional time from the other subcommittees, we can take from that time to continue the discussion.
Okay, so we had the first couple of articles. You can see the first article one is the name of the shack. So the official name of this organization shall be the Bastrop ISD School Health Advisory Council, also known as shack. We do not recommend any changes to that. Article two is purpose and limitations. The purpose of the shack is to assist the district in ensuring that the local community values are reflected in health education instruction. And the vision is create a school environment that nurtures physical, mental, emotional, and social health so that all students can learn at their highest potential. The limitations, we as a shack are an advisory body and we provide guidance, counsel, and other assistance to the board, but we do not have power to expend public funds, enter into contracts, or otherwise place obligation or liability upon the district. And we do not recommend changes to that as well. And then Article 3, responsibilities. According to the Texas Education Code and district policy, under the direction of the board, we have the following responsibilities. We meet a minimum of 4 times per curricular year. We meet the requirements of board policy, including advising and consulting with district curriculum and instruction department in the development of any and all components of a comprehensive health education curriculum. We provide recommendations to the school board for approval of a school health program. We recommend appropriate grade levels and curriculum for human sexuality instruction and other required lessons in the TEC. Meet the requirements of board policy, including development of a district wellness policy for all schools, including school lunch program and or school breakfast program, and development of nutrition guidelines and wellness goals in collaboration with district administration, and research and review available data related to the components of a comprehensive school health program, including health instruction, safe and healthy school environment, health services, physical education, school counseling, guidance, and mental health, parental involvement, addiction and substance abuse prevention, suicide prevention, school food and nutrition service, school site health promotion for faculty and staff, child abuse, family dating, violence, and sex trafficking prevention, and make appropriate recommendations to the school board based on this data. And we also provide a written annual report in June each school year and present a report to the board if requested. We do not recommend changes to that as well. So in summary, no changes are recommended to any of those articles. And that is all for our portion.
Any questions or discussion on Articles 1, 2, or 3? Okay, we will move on to Article 5, Health Education Subcommittee. Ms. Marshall, are you presenting on behalf of?
And actually, I'm sorry, I didn't really get, we did go over it just during our meeting, and we did not see any necessary changes.
Okay.
Any, yeah, we didn't come up with any recommended changes.
Okay. Any discussion about Article 5?
Because, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
May
go ahead.
I?
Yes.
We did not meet, so I was just going to make a motion if we keep the this part of the bylaws according to the Texas Shack Guide. Because it's more general, and it says it's a guide for Texas school districts. And because we did not have the time to meet and talk about it, I was going to ask the whole body if you agree that we keep our part, our Article B shack leadership according to the Texas School Health Advisory Council guide for Texas school districts.
So the subcommittee recommends no changes to Article 5. Any discussion? Okay, we'll move on to Articles 6, 7, and 8.
We had no changes to the bylaws.
Okay. Any discussion about Articles 6, 7, or 8? Okay. Moving on to Articles 9, 10, and 11.
All right, so we had a couple changes. This is just, all good teachers know this, make your kids show your work. Next slide. So one of the changes, and then it was just mentioned for Article 3, that a written report must be provided each June. So the only thing we ask is that the annual June meeting of the school board, then that information gets shared in the June board each year. And then there was some discussion about orientation for newcomers to the shack. So we recommend that shack orientation for all new members will take place in August of each year. And then also a recommendation that shack will provide just a status or a check-in with the school board in January of each year, just to let them know where we are, anything we're working on, anything that we can ask them to support us throughout the year. So just tying some dates along with the requirements that is already outlined. And then this is just a couple things that we asked to remove. We're asking to remove the two-thirds majority vote and just have a majority vote. It's either yay or nay, that way no one in here has to bring out calculators or do fractions. And then the last thing is just another verbiage approved by a simple majority of the majority of voting members. We recommend it just says the majority of voting members. So not a complex majority or a simple, but just the majority. So there was no change to 9. Article 10, communications, just tying those months together with June, August. And this actually says May, but we made a change to this. This is June, it's provided on here as well. And then in January, providing a status check-in, and then just some more removing extra verbiage in 11 with simple, and just leaving that as majority. Those are the changes that we recommend. We as in Trustee Armstrong.
All right, is there any discussion on these proposed changes to Articles 10 and 11 to add that the report will be given in June of each year, and that we change the two-thirds majority and simple majority to majority in both cases?
Sorry for the math, that'd be 51%, right?
Correct. Okay, and then we'll move into our final article for presentation, which is Article 4 on voting membership, and that'll be presented by the Health Education Subcommittee.
Okay, last time we were here, we had that many members, we had that group of people, and then we sent that out by email to get any feedback. A few people made comments, so our first recommendation was to add voting membership.
Sorry to interrupt you, Raina.
Yes.
If you're a voting member, will you raise your hand? And I'm going to bring a hard copy around because it's easier to keep track of. Than track of.
Okay. Okay, so just adding the voting membership, making that a little bit more clear as opposed to just regular membership. Really want to hear more student voice, so that's the majority of the people in our group feel like we need to have a stronger student presence here. I mean, everything that we decide does impact them, so I think that's important. And then membership may include non-voting advisory members. We struck through that. BISD staff voting membership, we defined here exactly who those people could be and then who they cannot be. So director, chief, or superintendent or board trustees may not serve as voting members. And then we took out campus staff, district admin may only serve as non-voting advisory members. School board members are non-voting advisory, which I think that's already part, Eligibility, again, really wanted to put current BISD students. And the rest of that, we left the same except for non-voting advisory members may live in surrounding areas of Bastrop County that do not lie within BISD boundaries. And again, added here to student, the student can come from middle school or high school, but no more than two students from one campus. We don't, you know, we would hope that we would get one from Circa, BHS, and CCH. But if not, if we only had two come from Circa, let's say, that would be okay as well. We left everything else the same. And then we added in here that student members would be selected by middle school or high school principals through a nomination process. We thought about, you know, we have a really strong health science program at both high schools, so maybe they have someone that they would like to nominate. If we don't just have students come forward, maybe we could go through those career tech classes to look for those students, or we have student council leadership classes, we have PAL leadership classes, so those students are kind of on the leadership track. So if we did get more than we could take, we would then go to an application process for those students. And then undue advantage added that voting and advisory members may only serve on SHAC for one district, such a school board member may only serve as a trustee for one district. And an individual participates in SHAC for another district based on their children's enrollment in that district, working as an employee in that district, or owning a business within the enrollment residency boundaries of that district, he or she is ineligible to serve as a voting or advisory member on the BISD SHAC, as joining multiple SHACs could result in conflict of interest.
Can I, on that last bit, because I kind of, I read that earlier and I thought, I know SHAC, we kind of have a hard enough time getting members, so why would we, if somebody is knowledgeable of SHAC?
I've heard that from multiple people in the community, and I do just want to dispel that myth. This is not a SHAC that has trouble recruiting people. A SHAC has a minimum of 10 members. We have in excess, which is why we have to use an application process to narrow down. So we actually have more than 30 who are routinely present.
Yeah.
And so that's not, it has been an issue in SHACs that I've been part of in the past, but it's not here. We have great community.
Well, no, what I was saying, like if somebody is say in on a SHAC committee somewhere else, then they can't be part of this SHAC as well.
Yeah, so, and it gives the example in there. If you're on the school board of trustees
right.
in Bastrop ISD, you can't also be in Smithville or Del Valley
right.
because those districts each have different needs, and so the conflict of interest of, well, what's working here well for one should work well for the other one.
Okay.
You don't want to put individuals in that position.
That is, to me, I thought if somebody's, because there seems to be a lot to the to SHAC, and so if somebody's very knowledgeable about it, I kind of didn't see why they couldn't serve on multiple districts.
And it is open for discussion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ms. Armstrong.
Oh, Carol, trustee, and this was way before it became one. What exactly, or can you define, what's the, I know I'm a non-voting member, and if you go back to the list of who can be a member, where is it defined as who is a voting member versus who is not a voting member?
And again, because we have such great involvement here, we've had to limit or define ours more tightly to the voting membership is capped at 30. But we have...
I guess that, okay, so if the application process happens in, I don't know, let's say just June or August, so you would take the first 30 applicants and those are the voting members?
So last time when we first filled the membership, we asked the executive committee to review the applications, and if they met all of the criteria, then if we were in excess of 30, it would be done based on application date submitted. So first come, first serve.
Okay, and then those who just want to come in and be, just to be involved.
Yes, then those can be advisory members and they can serve on subcommittees and they can make recommendations. They just
okay.
won't vote on
they
whether to accept those
they can input and such as
yeah.
that. Okay, thank you.
I was curious before, and I was wondering how often we meet them.
the mandate for 50%, more than 50% of parents that are non-employees in our meetings? Do you know where it lies?
As far as voting and advisory members, I think we'd have to break that down for you.
Voting members, where is it? A majority of the voting members shall be parents.
Yes, a majority of our voting members are parents that are not employed by the district.
That are active and currently present at meetings. You have mentioned 30 several times. I've never seen 30 people attend any of our meetings, so why do we not have room for more?
So the voting membership is capped by the state at 30. And so this year, as Mr. Murray recapped for us at the beginning in August, this is our first full year to have a voting membership. And so he's tracking attendance because that is in the bylaws as far as how many times they have to be present. Once they hit that cutoff point, then theoretically, people would start to roll off for not meeting the attendance requirement, and then new voting members could take their place.
So do we have a number? How many voting members do we have right now?
28.
We have 28 now, yes.
But then we're gonna be tracking that, so if people aren't involved, then they will fall off, and then we'll take other applications to fill those spots.
This is actually a larger crowd than we normally have.
It is.
This is a little confusing to me.
And only half of them are voting.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Half of these are not voting members.
So yeah, we have a lot on the list that just, that don't show up, but they can still communicate like through email if they still wanna be involved, but they do have to do that, or you're keeping track of it, correct?
Uh-huh.
So we're gonna start tracking that. I don't think that was done in the past, and contact them if they haven't shown up for a couple meetings and see if they still wanna be involved. And if they don't, then we'll open that for,
so
take another member.
There's some voting members that aren't here tonight, but they want to vote. Do we allow that?
No, in voting sessions, those are announced in the session before, so that the expectation is if you want to be present to vote, then that will be something.
I just had no idea we had that many members.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of surprising.
I only see one on the list that's a parent only and not an employee.
Is there a waiting list for those that fall off? So we'd have to cover first.
Currently, we don't have anybody on the waiting list, so it would be a good idea for us to recruit. I do have a few student names that have been given to me by principal, so I'm excited about us being able to add some of them, because that's not something that we've had any voting membership to represent so far.
So I think we do need to like get some, well, I think we've talked about that in our meetings. We need to somehow get word out there to more parents to try to draw more parents in. It seems to be difficult.
So after how many absent meetings that that person will be out of as an active voting member?
I think it was two.
I don't remember exactly, but it sounds
okay. But I think then you were gonna reach out to, or somebody's gonna reach out to them if they haven't shown up for two meetings, then
mm-hmm.
we're gonna reach out. I mean, and they can, if they can't make it, they just have to contact somebody and let them know they are still interested in being involved, but for whatever reason can't make it because of work or something.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, the rule on attendance is in this Article 4. SHAC will meet a minimum of four times per curricular year. Members are encouraged to attend all meetings and must attend at least three meetings per year. If a member misses three consecutive meetings and does not communicate with the SHAC via email for 3 months, he or she will be asked to submit a resignation letter.
The first meeting we had 20
total.
20 people present at the first meeting.
But how many were members?
Voting
members.
I'm sorry.
That's what I was gonna, because you think, right, like I work here, but I also have kids in the district. So, like, how is that, it's not like.
The way in the.
Does that count as parent or that counts as employee?
So, the way that the Texas Health and Human Services handbook is that voting membership must be a majority of parents who do not have children in the district. So in our case, when we have 30, we need at least 16 parents not employed by the district, which is what we have currently.
The hard part is just those are the ones that usually miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, we sent out the invite.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have control who comes.
Right.
Right.
When.
And honestly, I usually try to text.
With virtual, alternate solution, is that even, I know it's not vote, you have to be present for voting, but seems like it'll open the door, but then it might open the door for less.
Yeah.
Just show up.
That's my concern.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be good, like somebody, if they, it worked, I mean, if they just can't get here at five.
One free pass, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that I try to ask the group at least twice a year, is this time best for you? Or do we need to have the conversation about putting it later in the evening, yes?
So that was a little something that we've talked about as well. A lot of our parents can't get here at five, so maybe 5:30, they get off right at five.
Are we in agreement that 5:30 is?
Maybe we should try that and just see.
Okay.
Nine PM is good, no.
After the kids go to bed.
What, 9 AM?
I was gonna say lunchtime.
I think it gets hard either way, because you're either looking like no childcare or like not off work, you know. It's gonna be difficult either way.
Okay, we can try 5:30 for the next session, Jimmy. Alright, any other discussion about Article Four?
I have one other, kind of what I talked to you about, and I just wanna throw it out there to everybody else too, and maybe it won't be a change this time, but since it is hard to get parents, I mean, although it does say, you know, legally we have to have more parents, you know, enrolled, but maybe to open up it to just community members, to other community members, cause like somebody who's retired, who might want to be involved, and even if they don't have students, I mean, they're still in the community, and they still, you know, are dealing with the kids who are graduating or in school or graduating from school, and they may have more time to be able to be here at five. So, I mean, something I would like to consider later. I mean, honestly, I'll be in that boat now next year. So we can just maybe have just community members who can be voting members as well. Maybe not just stipulate parents and employees and the list, so.
Point of order, I would like to move to ask the officers, I am reading your screen, I would like to, I move to ask the officers that non-board members and guests should stay in this meeting.
Okay, we have not moved into a vote yet, we're
no,
still.
No, I am enforcing the Roberts rules, I said point of order. I want to make a request to the officers.
Okay, but we haven't closed the discussion on Article 4 yet.
Okay, all right.
Okay. So to Mrs. Marshall's point, do we want to consider when we're not able to fill the 30 voting spots with people who meet the criteria outlined in Article 4 to consider applications from other community members who are not parents of children in the district, current employees, or own a business within Bastrop ISD boundaries.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yes.
On that. So it does say business owners within the boundaries of Bastrop ISD, and I guess maybe I'm asking the question that you're asking in that, do we include community members? But I guess my question is, do we know why it initially said business owners and not community members?
Yes, initially that was put forth because those who own a business within Bastrop ISD boundaries are likely to have a more vested interest in the success of Bastrop ISD students because potentially that's their future employee pool.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am a community member, and when I signed for this committee, I was received as a board member, and then I was let go as a board member, and I have been here as a community member. But I'm gonna tell you my story. I have been here because I knew that parents can connect to the school district. Parents come to my office. I am not a social worker, but parents come to my office and they come and say, hey, my child is being bullied at school. Hey, my daughter is doing drugs. Hey, I have been here in this community for more than 2 years and a half. I have been a volunteer for BISD for since my son was in elementary. So I
And he's a college graduate now.
I am not a business member, but I want to be a body member. I know the situation, I know how bad sex trafficking is. Hispanic families come to me and they tell me their stories, and I think that BISD can do more for our students. You know, we sit in this beautiful building and we sit in these wonderful chairs. You're sitting there and you're very comfortable. We have students that are not comfortable. We have students that are crying out. We have students with depression. We have students that are in sex trafficking. We have children in sex trafficking. And I hear these statistics from people that work for CPS. I sit down in meetings with a lot of people in this city, and I hear the problems. They come with these statistics. They come with the information. We have teens that are pregnant. We can do more than what we're doing right now. And I am a community member, and I want to become a body member.
Okay, I have something on that. Like, I'm not gonna let that go undone. So I'm a safety security coordinator, and I've never had anyone call my office and say so-and-so's been bullied and we've not done anything about it. And we've had issues that go unknown. If I'm talking directly to you, if you have this lineup waiting to get in your office, my name's Ted Coleman, I'm a safety security coordinator. Sometimes I'm the director on whichever role that I'm filling that day. If you let me know about that, I will handle it immediately. When students come in, we have many, many different reporting ways. So when that stuff comes in to our report center, which goes to our communications, then goes to Dr. Lee, and then is sent out to whatever departments. So when you guys let me know about that, I've been told a few times to stand down and not aggressively handle things the way that I handle things. If there's kids bullying and there's parents showing up to your office and there's a line out there, T. Coleman, the number sign 1 at bictx.org, and I will immediately, if you don't put the 1, you contact Tanya, then she'll forward it to me. But I want to make sure we're very, very clear on that. If these issues are out there and I'm not aware of those issues, I can't handle those issues. However, once those issues are brought to my attention, I will address those immediately. If it's talking to the principal, if it's working with the counselors, if it's working with our administrative, whatever it is, if it's reporting to the board that I do every month, sometimes every month, sometimes I get off the hook. And then we have a safety security committee that meets 4 times, which Trustee Carol Armstrong also sits next to me in those meetings. If you guys let me know about those issues, I will aggressively handle those immediately. What I don't know, I can't fix. I know there's hundreds of things going on. I know that I'm working on thousands of things. So you bring it to my attention and I will handle it. And it's kind of bothersome to hear that, you know, they're lining up outside your office and I don't know about these things. If you let me know about those, I will handle them. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I would like to speak to the mental health, about the mental health. We have counselors on every campus. We have social workers at middle school and high school campuses, and we handle every mental health crisis that walks in our door. So again, if we don't know about it, we can't handle it. But I assure you, we have a protocol in place. We have education on substance abuse. We have SB9 now that we're presenting to students. So our middle school counselors push in and talk to students. Our elementary counselors have groups of students. Our high school, we have our whole curriculum of those areas that counselors are pushing and social workers are pushing into. So I can assure you, we are addressing many of the things that you say. So again, if that's not being reported to us, we can't help.
Just to you, I can tell you, last year I made a report online, and I was contacted from the campus about the report that I made, and it was within 20 minutes. So your system is working.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. And that's cool that the campus reached out to you and it didn't get all the way to the district. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm Corey, a voting member. And I just wanted, before we vote, I wanted to kind of provide some clarity. I'm a parent in the district. I don't work for the district. But what I think I'm hearing from everyone in this room is we have the systems in place that are working. Y'all are doing your jobs as employees and administrators. Or I think the gap is parents, we don't know about them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if we're considering adding community members, I think that's a good idea, because some of the community members, like she said, they know this information and they can bridge that gap between the parents and the programs that are out there to help. Because I can tell you, like, my kid was bullied in elementary school and I talked to the teacher, teacher did nothing, and then nothing happened. And so as a parent, I don't know what to do next. So we need to be able to bridge that gap.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
right, we have about 65 seconds. If there are any closing remarks on the discussion.
Let me do it one more. I guess, Margarita, just kind of to yours, and part of the list there does, as part of a member, and I'm going to assume a voting member, provided we don't have the quorum, it does list nonprofit health organizations or local domestic violence programs. My understanding, you do work for a nonprofit health organization.
It's not a health organization. It's more like educational, and we work together with BISD.
Okay. Well, I mean, and so maybe we need to define that. But it is a nonprofit, so, and in a way, you do deal with health. So I think if we haven't reached the quorum, seeing as someone that is in the community and probably could work very well with Ted.
Yeah.
Ted.
And
just be
passion
careful what you ask
is.
For, because she'll. She's very enthused.
Outside my door.
Yeah. But she's, and I think it's wonderful, and it is wonderful. So, anyway, that's it.
I kind of like
just
the question that Messiah could be the first one considered to be added to our membership.
Well, that would be the conversation to have after the vote on whether to add that to the bylaws. Tanya, if you can advance to the last slide, there's a space for us to add a write-in. Okay, so under voting membership, if you can type in the event the quorum is not filled, we will consider other community members as listed per TXHHS guidelines.
Don't you put that on here?
Yeah, if you can just type it in there, and
okay.
Then they'll be able to write it in on their ballots.
Why is it not me? Edit.
Okay. So if you're a non-voting member, I'll ask you to step out of the library at this point. If you would like to wait out in the foyer, Nurse Coleman will come out and announce the results of the election after the ballots are counted.
Can we leave
our stuff here?
Well, you can.
Yeah, I mean, because we'll be come back.
Yep.
The quorum is not met.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Dr. Morris, if the quorum is not met,
then the executive committee will consider voting membership applications from other community members.
Voting. If the quorum is not met, the executive committee will consider voting applications.
TXHHS guidelines.
On your ballot are all of the proposed changes. At the end of your ballot, there is a space for write-in amendments to the bylaws that were not previously considered or presented by the subcommittee. And on that space, there are several boxes, but we only had one presented, which is the additional consideration of community members in the event that the quorum is not filled.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes, yeah, quorum is 10. We need 10 present.
So on the ballots, do we need to write that in completely?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you want to abbreviate, that's okay. You don't
okay,
have to
that's
what
I was, that's kind of
what
I was.
Yeah. It's Article 4 is the section that would go in. Yes, you're a voting
okay.
member.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I didn't. That's what I was like, I was thinking so.
And then when you finish, if you'll just place your ballot face down in this white paper box lid here at the front.
Right there.
Yes, yeah, it doesn't have to be, you know, word for word, you can just do a quick summary.